when I get up here ready to preach, I want everything to seem like it's just smooth and like it ought to be. But it didn't start off that way this morning. I think computers are going to get the best of me after all. I came down here this morning early, and I put my thumb drive in the computer, and somehow I erased it all. I have no idea how I did that, but I erased it all. And so I may look dignified now, but I was rushing back home and going into the computer and turning on the computer and downloading again and rushing back down here, and now it's on the computer. So I hope everything looks calm and peaceful. Just a little background of what goes on with regard to some of these things that we've been preaching. So good to see the visitors here this morning. Grateful for your presence, all of you. I want to talk with you this morning about one of the things that is found in 2 Peter chapter 1. And there Peter talks about those things that we call graces. And when we do these things, Peter promises we'll never fall. So I want to look at you this morning with regard to that and look at perseverance, or in a word that I would rather use, endurance. It's said to be the will or ability to endure without complaint, endurance, perseverance in performing a task, refusing to be provoked by an insult or forbearing. I would suggest that every one of you at some time or other has been in a situation where you have to practice endurance or perseverance. And I really believe that so far as we're concerned this morning, endurance is the word that I want to use, because it's something that we need to practice in order to get to heaven. Because so many people don't endure, they give up. So patience or endurance is a very precious characteristic, but it's often difficult to add to our life. And we had on our refrigerator a little magnetic thing that says, "Lord, give me patience and do it now." And that's usually the attitude we have about things of this nature. We don't want to wait. We want to do it now. So we have to learn that idea of endurance. We have to learn it for a period of time. It's commanded upon the servants of God. When you begin to look at those things, and again, my New Testament is very difficult sometimes to get these passages quickly, so if you'll bear with me, we'll begin looking at 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 24, in reading what the Bible says about Christians. "A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, and patient." So this is something that each child of God has to learn, to be patient, which means to endure and to recognize the importance of that. And it's commanded to the brethren in James chapter 5. When you look at the book of James, it's talking about individual things that we have to do in order to live right before God. And in chapter 5 and in verse 7, "Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain." I remember when I was a teenager, my daddy had me go in the garden with him, and he planted some fruit trees. And it was in the fall of the year, and I was cold, and I really didn't like the work, to be honest. And I told him, "You know, you're planting these trees, and I won't be able to eat any until I don't have any teeth." And the idea was, you have to learn to be patient with regard to fruit. And when you plant a garden, it just doesn't snap out of the ground like you might want it to. You have to learn to endure. And what James is saying, that one of the lessons of life that you'll observe as a farmer, this is what you have to do in the spiritual realm. As a farmer plants, and he's got to wait until it's ready and ripe to be picked, that's the way it is with the child of God as well. And true patience is waiting without worrying. I put that down, but I'm not sure that I agree with it. Most of us, when we have something happening to us, we do worry a little bit. But if we have endurance, we're going to wait anyway. So that's what we need to learn to do, to wait on that. And of course, patience is needed in tribulation. We're given some examples of that when we suffer for the Lord patiently. And back to 1 Peter again in chapter 2 and in verse 20. There the record says, For what credit is it if, when you're beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you are good and suffer for it, you take it patiently. This is commendable before God. So this was written in a time when people could really be beaten a lot. And the example was that if you're beaten for some crime, then okay, you need that. But if you're really a Christian and you suffer, then you are beaten, then it's an attitude that has to somehow surface that we endure it thankfully and joyfully. Now, I want to say this morning, when we look at, for example, Christ and the apostles and others who really had to suffer, I doubt seriously if any of us are ever going to have to suffer like that. They were thrown to the lions, literally. They were put in arenas and had to fight for their lives. Many of them were crucified. Some of them, as Paul, was beheaded. And that's the real kind of persecution that I doubt if we'll ever have. But nevertheless, there is a sense in which we also have to endure. How many people do you know in your own experience who were Christians at one time and fell away? And I imagine you could really name a few. In going through neighborhoods at times when I've done that and take a survey of the community and ask them about the church, I found a number of people who used to be Christians and they're not anymore. They haven't endured. They've given up. So this is the sort of thing that's going to be a test for us in this everyday living like a Christian. On Sunday morning, we get up and get ready and worship God. We worship God again Sunday evening at 5. We worship God again on Wednesday at 7:30. And some people just don't want to give up all that time. And the problem is they're not really enduring the life of a Christian. So nobody's going to come at you with a sword and chop off your head, and nobody's going to come and put you on a cross and crucify you and spread tar on you and set it on fire like the Romans used to do their enemies. That's not going to happen to us, probably, more than likely. But now, how do you feel about being here on Sunday night?
Amen.
And how do you feel like being here on Wednesday night? And you see, that gets down to the common everyday thing of endurance and doing what God expects us to do. Hebrews 10:25 says, "Forsake not the assembling of ourselves together." That's a participle, assembling, which means the practice of assembling. And you're not to forsake that. So this is one of the things that we have to test ourselves. Some look at that as a burden rather than opportunity. And the end result is we just fall away. We're not enduring. So when I talk about the endurance of others and the persecution, then we have to recognize that we're not necessarily doing the best we can. In Matthew chapter 5, on the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes and the other things that Jesus was saying, he talked about being willing to suffer. Matthew chapter 5, I'm in the book of Mark. Go back to Matthew 5. And look at verse 11 and 12. And I know that those of you who have electronics are there before me. You know, that reminds me, maybe I need to get me an iPad and start put the scriptures in it so I can be as fast as you are. But in Matthew 5, 11 and 12, "Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." We've been studying quite a bit in the Old Testament. We've looked through many of the prophets, and some of them were indeed tortured and reviled. And none of us have had to do that as much as they did, but this is one of the places where we learn this with tribulation and the patience of that. And then Peter talks about Jesus Christ and how he was reviled. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. And so we're threatened. Does road rage come to mind? What happens when somebody cuts you off? What do you say? What do you think? What do you do? And the idea is that a Christian isn't supposed to engage in road rage and do those kinds of things that put people's life in danger. And to be able to rejoice when bad things happen to us. We were reminded of this when we studied in class this morning. The Apostle Paul went to Philippi, and later he wrote back to the church at Philippi from a prison in Rome. This is one of the prison epistles that Paul wrote, and it was upbeat, it was joyful. He was telling people, don't let this discourage you, because this is going to work out for my good. Now, you're not going to suffer things like that. I doubt seriously if any of you will be in prison for the cause of Christ like Paul was. But how do you react to the common things that Christians are supposed to do? And that's the test. And Jesus left that example. Also, the Thessalonians, going back to the time of Paul and the Thessalonians, when you look at what happened to them and what Paul recommended for them, have to understand that this is something that we need to learn as well. In verse 4 of 2 Thessalonians 1, Paul said, so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith and all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. It was a difficult time for Christians in the first century. And they had terrible things happen to them. Some of them lost their homes. Some were put in prison. Some were killed. And Paul was saying to the Thessalonians, people all around the world who are Christians talk about you because I've told them about your patience and endurance. Now then, if somebody should say at Northside in Mansfield, what kind of reputation do we have? Are we the kind of people that endure with patience and with joy? We recognize that Jesus was suffering for the cause of righteousness, so I'm ready to do that. Is that the kind of attitude that we have? And that's what's being said. And then James talked about the prophets again, because many of them did suffer and die and were reviled. I remember when a prophet went up from Judah to Israel, and he was preaching against the things that were done by Jeroboam, and they told him, why don't you get out of here? We don't want you here. This is the king's palace. Who are you, some country bumpkin? You come up here from Judah. Go back home. We don't want you. Now, how would you stand up under that kind of persecution? Because that's what it is. I well remember we had a visitor. And sometimes it's sort of dangerous to go see a visitor. But we had a visitor in Whitesboro. And she gave us a card. So on Monday, I went by to see her. And she was hanging out clothes at the clothesline. So I just stopped the car on the edge of the road and got out and introduced myself and said I wanted to come by and visit with her. She said, get off this property and don't you ever come back again. Well, I didn't know what caused that, but I got off her property and I never saw her again. So these little, that's not like getting your head chopped off. And that's not really suffering like the prophet suffered. But you know how little I felt walking off that yard? I just wondered, what did I do wrong? And those are the things that sort of cross your mind. So in James chapter 5, beginning of verse 10, James talks about these prophets. He said, my brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You've heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. And so you'll have to wait for the judgment day to get your praise, but you may in the meantime have something happen to you that causes you embarrassment because you are a Christian. And my question is, does that bother you? Does that bother you so much that you give up? are you willing to continue doing what God would have you to do? Patience is noted in well-doing. Commit our souls to well-doing, Peter told us. And I'll just like to ask, when was the last time you can remember doing good for somebody? When was the last time you did good for somebody? That's supposed to characterize us, that we're willing to do that. And we have to not grow weary in that, because here's where the endurance comes in, and here's where a lot of Christians have fallen away. People that one time were members of the church, sitting in a pew and worshiping God, and something happened, I don't know what, but they fell away. And they're all around us here in Mansfield, people that gave up and quit. And the end result is that they're lost when they can be a great attribute to the cause of Christ. We have a lot of empty pews here this morning. Couldn't these people who fell away still be faithful? We've been studying about Ephesus or Philippi, and we mentioned Ephesus in our class this morning. And there were seven churches of Asia. Not a one of them exists today. Isn't that something? Not a one of those churches exists today. Now, the church is still here, but none of those churches. And we're not told exactly what happened to those churches and why they're not there, but you read the Revelation letter in chapter 2 and 3, you recognize that some of them were warned, if you don't repent, I'm going to remove your candlestick. So they were in danger of falling away. The whole church was in danger of falling away. There were one or two that God praised because they were faithful. Now, 10 years from now, what's going to be happening to Northside? I know we don't really know, but can we build for the future? Can we expect that we're going to convert people? Can we expect that people are going to find out that we're teaching the truth and want to worship with us? And so what we're doing in the next 10 years is enduring. We're just doing what God expects us to do. I don't know what the future brings, but I know that so far as I'm able to do with God's help, we're going to still do what God wants us to do. That's endurance. And you do that with patience. And, you know, when people talk, what is the alternative, brethren? What's the alternative? Giving up? Quitting? And doesn't that just sort of raise your bristles a little bit? You're not going to quit. I want to be serving God when I breathe my last breath.
Amen.
My mother worked in the hospital in Lubbock, Texas, and she told me, and I've mentioned it before, that there was a man in the hospital with cancer, and he was dying, and she was helping him as best she could to give him comfort. And with his last breath, he cursed God and died. I can't take that in. You're going to meet God. Why would you curse Him? But I know people have pain and they have tribulations, and this is what Paul is talking about and what the Bible is talking about. When these things happen to you, you endure.
Amen.
What would you have thought if Jesus on the cross had said, "I deny God"? He could have come down off the cross. His enemies would have spared him. But what effect would have had on us? What if the Apostle Paul had decided, "Here I am in prison, and all I've got to do is renounce Jesus, and I'll be free, and I'm a Roman citizen, and I can be a part of the Jewish hierarchy, I can be in the Sanhedrin, I'm just going to give up this Jesus thing"? He didn't do it. And the end result is we have all these letters that he wrote. I just wonder when somebody went to the assembly in Philippi on Sunday morning and somebody said, "Hey, look here, we've got a letter from Paul." Well, we do. We've got a letter from Paul. We're going to be studying it for the next few weeks.
Amen.
Wouldn't you want to hear what Paul had to say? I mean, he endured so much. So many things happened to him. And we need to the Bible with a sense of excitement, because it's telling us where we're going to spend eternity and how to get there. So endure, endurance is not so bad for us. We may whine a little bit. We may badmouth it because I've got to get up on Sunday morning. Got to be there Sunday night. And the idea of having to is not the right attitude. It's not a matter of having to. I'm going to meet my brethren. We're going to talk about the letter Paul wrote to us. And so many good things happen. And I tell you, through the years, it's not been all easy being a preacher. I just have to admit that. It's been some hard times. But when I refer to people as obeying the gospel, they walk down that aisle, it makes it all worth it.
Amen.
It makes it all worth it. When I first moved to North Carolina, the elders at Newport, North Carolina, asked me to come over and fill in until they got a preacher. I was 21, I guess. And they said I was too young to hold down the work, so they just preach till we find somebody. And you know, good things began to happen. One Sunday morning, we had 5 people walk down the aisle and were baptized. And it was such a feeling, I can't even begin to tell you, the feeling of seeing people come to the Lord. And the elder said, well, forget about looking for a preacher. You just come on over and move with us. And you're doing the work. And so I moved there, and we had a tremendous years of work and people obeying the gospel close to a Marine base. And so many people were restored during that period of time. It was just a wonderful work. That makes the bad parts worth it.
Amen.
And if you can endure, if you can recognize that there's a goal of heaven at the end. And like Abraham recognized in Hebrews 11, he looked for the city whose builder and maker is God. I've got that in my mind.
Amen.
I'm looking for that city. I'm not going to be satisfied with anything else.
Amen.
I want to go to heaven. So I'm going to endure. Now you brethren make it so easy because you're so good to get along with. You encourage me so very much. But if it were not that way, if it were like the first place I preached in South Texas, and we had a Diotrephes there. Now, if you know 3 John, you know Diotrephes. He was boss. And he would crack the whip on me. I lasted 9 months there at that place, and I was delivered. I'm so thankful to get away because that man hated preachers. And he made the life of preachers bad. And I finally moved them there to North Carolina, and there all of a sudden the good things began to happen. And so this is what it is in life. I'm not talking about myself as being a perfect example, but that's not going to happen to all of you. You're going to run into things that test your mettle. You're going to run into things that make you cry. But what has that to do with going to heaven?
Amen.
Going to heaven is the most important thing that you could ever consider. And to do that, because it's way off in the future somewhere, not so far for some of us as it is for others, but it's off in the future somewhere, and I want to last. I want to quit. And I would like to see every one of you in heaven when we get there. That's what this is all about. That's why I preach. That's why the Bible was written. That's why Jesus died. All these things were done so that every individual have the right to believe and the right to go to heaven. And it's so wonderful, I can't begin to tell you. Once you see the city in your mind, the builder and maker is God. Book of Revelation, it talks about it with the gates and the golden streets. I'm not looking for virtual gold, but whatever it is, heaven is so wonderful that God used these wonderful terms to give us an idea of what it's going to be like, and it's going to be better than anything I can tell you. So let's endure this year. What I believe in. That's what I'm teaching. So if you're pressing this morning and somehow you quit, or sometimes you get discouraged, let's renew our faith. Renew our zeal. hold on to Jesus Christ and to know that it's all worth it. And I don't think I'm going to get my head chopped off. And I don't think I'm going to be crucified. But I'll have to be here tomorrow and Saturday and Sunday and the next week and the next week and the next month. But if I'm in my right mind, when you see me, I'll be here. And I hope and pray that all of you will be here as well. And let's reach out and bring some others in. You need to obey the gospel of Christ this morning. Recognize that you're going to have to endure. There may be some things that maybe cut you off from things you enjoy doing, but you're willing to endure because you see that city whose builder and maker is God, and we're pressing forward, like Paul said. Won't you come and obey the gospel while we stand and sing the song of this morning?
Fearless soul.